everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, back in the saddle. We, of course, have John with us Monday and Tuesday, but then Tom takes over as our engineer producer on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So this is the first time I've been with Tom this week. First time in December for Tom. And Tom, you, as I recall, you're like me.
December birthday baby? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your birthday's what, the 8th?
16th.
16th.
And yours is the...
We've passed it.
We did pass it. Well...
It was last Sunday.
Okay. So you're an early Sagittarian. Belated happy birthday to Tom Fairbanks.
Well, and happy birthday in advance.
There you go. And one thing, Tom, you know, I love to kind of talk a little bit about the weather. We are having the nicest... late November, early December, or late autumn would be more appropriate. Just delightful. Anytime you can be in the upper 70s and low 80s, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I talked to my daughter and my son over in Dallas, and they've been suffering with somewhere near freezing temperatures at times, but typically in the mid 40s.
Ooh, yeah.
So. Yeah, they get jealous when I tell them what's going on here.
If we, don't have some freezing weather this winter. All right, we're going to launch into year 15 with the Buckmaster Show in January. We're coming to you from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. So many people think we're actually at Green Things, but we are part of the Bustos Media growing presence here in town. We've got 5 radio stations under one roof, and Green Things, Zocalo Village have the naming rights, and I'm glad they do, to the studio when I'm on the air from noon to one. All right. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, once a month we bring in the vice mayor for the city of Tucson. He is the Democratic representative of Ward 3 in the city of Tucson, Kevin Dahl. Kevin, we first met Kevin when he was part of the native seed search, and then we interviewed him extensively when he became then program manager for the National Parks Conservation Association. And it seems like just yesterday, Kevin, first of all, great to see you.
Likewise, Bill.
It seems like just yesterday that you decided, you know, I think I'll get into politics. And you won, and you were sworn into office Monday, December the 6th, 2021. So that we're coming up here on your, well, Friday will be your 3-year anniversary.
That's right, Bill.
So that means you'll be standing for a re-election next year.
That's right. Yeah. And no surprise, I've already filed the paperwork.
You did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so what does that entail, by the way? I'm curious.
Well,
signature?
Yeah, there's a lot of paperwork. You set up a campaign committee. You have to learn how to do your financial reports. The city has a clean elections offer that will match most of your donations if you follow certain requirements. And I've ran as a clean candidate, and I will do that again. Mm-hmm. So a lot of paperwork. People have to sign things. I have 2 campaign co-chairs, Ojas Sanghi, who's with the Arizona Youth Climate Coalition, and Deja Fox, who's a social media influencer who appeared a couple of times at the Democratic National Convention. Wonderful people.
Hmm. Do you expect opposition?
I'm hoping not, but I'm prepared.
But you're gearing up.
I certainly am.
Gearing up.
Yeah, not everybody likes me, but I think my team, Ward 3 and myself, have done some good work in the ward. So I'm expecting it will be a lot of work, a lot of knocking on doors, but I like that stuff, and I like hearing from people, so it'll be an interesting year coming up.
All right, so U.S. Senator-elect Ruben Gallego has tapped you, and almost 2 dozen folks around the state, but I believe you and Laura Dent are the only 2 representatives on Ruben's transition team.
From Tucson,
yes,
right? That's right. And I am getting a lot of congratulations, and mostly I say, yeah, it's a lot of clerical work.
Mm-hmm.
We are a funnel for people who want to work in the D.C. and in the district offices. So we collect resumes and cover letters and funnel those to the people who are actually making the decision. Mm-hmm. He has existing staff because he's a representative.
Yeah.
And he's not a senator and can't hire for his new office until he's sworn in, which will be in January. But we're doing a lot of the legwork. One of the things I help do is make sure he will have an office in Tucson. It's interesting that senator, even more than representative office, but any congressional office out away from D.C. needs maximum security. Mm-hmm. So it can, for a new office, it might take up to a year to make sure all the security is in place. But there are some existing offices, in this case, the office that was used by Senator Sinema, mm-hmm. downtown Tucson, that will be vacated, and they've decided to take use that. So we'll have representation in Tucson pretty quick.
Those offices are already secure.
Very secure.
So that
you
that...
can't get into them without an engraved invitation. I exaggerate, but...
Yeah. So that would be ready for them to move in.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's been taking up a lot of your time, but also it's been a really busy year for the council, hasn't it?
It has been. It seems like fall is busy. People are getting out of town in the summer, but once it cools down, and it took a little longer to cool down, as you know, there's all sorts of events, and we're working on all sorts of issues.
Yeah, one of those issues has been what to do about public transit. Should it remain free? If so, well, who's going to pay for it?
Well, most of public transit has always been paid out of Tucson general funds. The fares have only been a percentage. We stopped the fares using money that we got from the feds to help us deal with COVID. And what I saw is that it really benefited the system. More people were using it. It was easier. I was downtown for an event on Saturday for the small business shopping day, and I overheard someone ask someone, how much is a streetcar? And they were two tourists, yeah. And the person said, oh, they're free in Tucson. Mm. So people who come here, stay downtown or stay near the university, they can get around. It's really an amenity. In fact, I think of it as a utility. Mm-hmm. So in our budget, it's free this year. If we ever want to bring back fares, if we decide for whatever reason that we want to do that or we have to do it, we have to go through a six-month process. So when it's on the agenda to discuss, like it was last time, people are concerned. Oh, don't make it not. Well, that agenda item was looking at some possibilities for additional funding for transit. The more funding we get for transit, the better service we'll have, of course. And so we're looking at some of our partners. Institutions like the University of Arizona, Pima College, Raytheon, that get a lot of use out of the system for their employees and their students, getting support from that and from other possibilities, other fees or taxes. Then, so what we heard was a report on some of the ones that could possibly be implemented to generate more fees. That's going to be for next year's budget. We'll mm-hmm. spend some time looking at that to see the impacts, the unintended consequences.
Uh-oh. Well, the city is missing out on up to $13 million a year in revenue.
Well, that's what we were receiving at the height of it. I think we would get a lot less because I think people who are enjoying riding it free, they will go back to riding in cars or Uber or riding their bicycles, whatever. That's based on an estimate of ridership. And I think ridership will drop dramatically if we take away the fares. But I don't, as long as we can keep it up and we're not deficit spending, I think it's important for us to have this utility because it benefits students, it benefits people who are working, people who can't afford a car, it benefits people in cars because a busload of people is not 50 or 40 cars on the road causing all sorts of traffic jams. So it's a great benefit to have public transit.
And you have heard the knock on all of this about that homeless people are riding the bus for free, but this also encourages crime, whatever.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that someone will make a getaway on a bus. And in fact, I heard a story from our police chief that someone did try to do that, and it was very easy to arrest them at a bus stop. I mean, I wish more people would do that.
They were waiting at the next bus stop.
Yeah, but I don't want to make light of the experience of drug dealing at bus stops. Someone reported to me this morning that they walked by a bus stop and they were openly smoking drugs. Or, you know, people who are drunk or drugged on a bus. We had those problems beforehand. We had people who would fight because they could get on. They didn't have the fear to go on. What we need is a little bit more security on the buses. And we need to deal with the drug epidemic. Not everybody doing drugs on the street and at bus stops, by the way, are homeless. You know, that's a separate problem that is intertwined. People who are working with the homeless tell me that very often people who are caught doing drugs offered a shelter. No, I have a place where I can stay. Mm-hmm. I just can't do drugs there. I'm sleeping on my grandmother's couch and I can't do drugs there. So they're doing drugs in public. Horrible situation. But we have to not solve it by charging bus fares. We need to solve it by providing services and using police effectively, working with our partners in Pima County, et cetera.
All right, Vice Mayor of City of Tucson, Kevin Dahl, is our lead-off guest today on the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. Want to talk a little bit, it's always a pleasure to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
Oh, yeah. They do such a beautiful job with all their wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. And something we may not talk enough about, I was up at Mona's the Black Friday, had a Black Friday lunch up there at Mona's, brought a friend with me, and we had a delicious lunch up at Mona's. Huh. So we talk a lot about breakfast, but they are open right now. Stop by, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and enjoy lunch. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. And again, they're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Take a break right here. More with Councilman Vice Mayor Kevin Dahl after we take a quick break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. All sorts of great ideas over at Green Things for your holiday decorating. Family owned and operated since 1970, and things are really looking like the holidays, especially over at the Zocalo Village part of the business, which is on the 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. Got some beautiful items imported from Mexico there for the holidays. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com. All of your holiday favorites there at Green Things, voted Tucson's best garden center, and rightfully so. I can see why they were voted number one. All right, when we do the telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It is our monthly visit with the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. Kevin Dahl is with us, and we're talking a little bit about bus fares, free bus fares, and one of the issues the council will have to decide, what are we going to do about the homeless issue? It's not going to go away with suddenly that we're now in a new year when we switch the calendar to 2025. What about camping and washes? Is that still an issue that is very much on the front burner?
It's one of the several issues on the front burner. The homeless and people living in unsheltered situations has been something that I've been involved in for the past 3 years. The city is super involved in it. As you know, Bill, Housing First has been our philosophy. We've used a lot of the money that's available to us from federal grants to buy motels and make them low barrier shelters. Very successful one, Wildcat Inn. Looking forward to Christmas party. We'll probably have some decorations from Green Things for each of the people who live there or are shortly graduating for that into housing. If you're on the street, you know, and don't have a house, where do you live? Maybe you can couch surf for a while. Maybe you can't. You might live in a car. You might have some blankets or a tent, and you're looking for places to safely camp at night. I mean, the most vulnerable people are out camping at night in an urban setting. And you see a lot of camps in washes along the Santa Cruz, the Rito. During monsoons, it's very dangerous.
Of course.
During the winter, people, understandably so, have fires to keep warm, and those fires can get out of hand. And it's not just washes. People are camping in alleys. People are camping in parks. We the city of Tucson, and there's other partners involved in outreach to homeless camps. We have a protocol. If you see a camp that's of concern to you, you can report it online. You can call it in. You can call your ward office. And there are people who will provide services and do outreach. The last step is clearing it by police. First step, if we see illegal activities, the police are called in. Social workers, there's people who I would consider saints who are doing this work. It was suggested that we have an ordinance that allows us to clear out washes as one of the tools in the tool bag. Mm-hmm. We can clear out people who are obviously doing bad things or their behavior is illegal. Because you're homeless, we can't arrest you. It's not illegal. We're having that discussion. We continued that discussion. Some of my colleagues had some questions about it until next year. The concern that we're using this and we're going to clear up people out of every wash, we don't have the staff to clear every wash. Mm-hmm. But we are particularly interested in problem washes. In fact, this morning I was in La Madera neighborhood with about 20 neighbors and with a community service officer from the police department, looking at the problems of a particular stretch, about four blocks of a wash that goes through.
And what did you see?
Oh, well, there were people who were there. We saw evidence that people were camped overnight at a utility easement coming off the wash. There were people camped. Neighbors reported all sorts of drug activity. We could see evidence of drug activity. We saw human feces. I heard stories of fences that were accidentally burnt down because someone threw a cigarette butt. And neighbors said that this used to be a wash where they were happy to walk their dogs and take their kids to play.
Right. But now
it's really changed. So we're looking for solutions, and there are some solutions. There's some gates and some fences that could be put in. There's landscaping that's less attractive to people. There's activating it, getting people to walk their dogs again, and continued police intervention. What's great in Tucson is, you know, the police are overworked. We don't have enough police for various reasons, but we've stood up community service officers that can take the burden of law enforcement. They don't carry guns. They don't make arrests.
And they are increasing the numbers of the community service officers. Really frees up the folks with a badge to do other stuff.
That's exactly right. And so a wash situation like this, we were talking with a community service officer who patrols it regularly and tells people to leave and can call in services if services need to be. We've also stood up through one of our community partners two cleanup crews that are more available to clean up washes and trash and people things that are dumped in the alleys. And what's great, Bill, is that these are staffed by people who were formerly homeless. And I've seen these crews, they work hard, they make money that's good for them. And in places, in a park we were doing a cleanup, I saw some of the homeless there come and talk to these people and say, hey, what's this job like? Mm-hmm. Can I apply? And here's the information to apply.
That's wonderful.
So there are solutions. Mm-hmm. There's nothing overnight, and we'll see whether we decide that we need this tool for when we have to move people from a wash, making it easier to do that.
You know, earlier you said homelessness is not a crime, at least in the city of Tucson. But with that Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decision earlier this year, last summer, cities do now have the authority to arrest people just because they are homeless. At least that's my understanding.
Well, I don't think because they're homeless, because they're on city property.
Okay.
We can ask them to leave. Mm-hmm. So someone's camping on a sidewalk, we can ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not going to arrest them for camping. And if we start arresting everybody who's unsheltered, our jail system would explode. It's part of the solution, because the problem with people who are experiencing homelessness is that there's this overlay. Many people came to this situation with a mental illness or have developed mental problems after, for economic reasons, the rent's too high, they're estranged from their family, having to live on the streets, also develop mental issues. People have come to the street because they're doing this horrible drug, fentanyl, or when they're on the streets, they find that fentanyl gives them some relief. So the overlay of mental issues and this horrible drug and other drugs makes it really hard to deal with this situation.
One of the issues that will be coming up in 2025 is whether the city should get involved in the utility business. This would be a massive undertaking, a city-owned electric utility. It's been done. It's being done in other cities, but there is a study going on about this. But I don't know how serious that issue is going to turn into something.
Well, it's something we should look at. The study is bigger than just a municipal utility. Mm-hmm. It's part of our climate action plan. There have been suggestions like that, like community choice energy, where as a consumer, you don't have to buy from TEP. There would be other utilities that could come in that service you that might have a bigger portfolio of solar or some other renewable energy. We've asked a national consultant who's skilled in this area to look at all the possibilities for the city of Tucson for us, for our energy needs to be better met in light of climate change. And when we see that study, then we'll do this. I know that for us to buy out TEP to make it a municipal utility would take a lot of money. So my guess is we don't have the bonding capability to do that. But I could be surprised. And that's why we're asking experts to look at it. Some of these things won't be available to us unless the law at the state level changes. And that's another question that's outside of our hands.
We didn't talk about, we probably should have talked a little bit about this issue about feeding people in parks. There's a, considering changing the rules for issuing permits to provide food in parks.
Yeah, we require permits. We don't charge for it for churches and other charitable groups that provide food to people in parks. And that was put in place a while ago because there were problems. There were too many people going to this park, nobody going to another park. So it is kind of a management issue, and we know what's happening because sometimes we have to do more cleanup after it. There are people who are concerned about feeding programs in parks as being something that attracts homeless and undesirable people in their eyes. So there are two parks that have been problematic where Parks and Recreation has decided not to issue permits. There are groups that are feeding there without permits. So it's an interesting issue. I'm not sure where it's going to go.
All right. And of course, we'll be talking in the new year about the city and the special election in March for a half-cent sales tax. But that's going to have to wait for after the new year with you, Kevin Dahl. Thank you very much.
And thanks, Bill.
Hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season.
And you too, Bill.
Thanks very much. All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show in the midweek edition. We've got our travel talk section with Ryan Hansen. I always love to talk travel, and we'll talk about some maybe under-the-radar destinations to think about for 2025. Let's take a break. Then we're going to talk travel with Ryan Hansen.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our insider travel talk on the program with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com. What a great website they have. And it is the first stop, I suggest, in making your travel dreams come true. Let's go now on the live line. Ryan Hansen joining us. Ryan, it seems like everybody was traveling over the, and most of them by air, over the Thanksgiving weekend.
As it typically does, right, Bill? Yes. It's such a popular time for travel. And when the analysts looked at it, they were expecting significant numbers because of how Americans like to travel during Thanksgiving and over the break. But how about this? Sunday, December 1st was the busiest air travel day in the administration's history.
Wow.
Close to 3.1 million air travelers were screened through security checkpoints across the country. And that busy, busy Thanksgiving holiday weekend was capped off by that staggering amount, 3.1 million. When you consider just a year ago, Bill, it was about 2.2 million people traveling on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So people are out and about for sure this year. And that's no surprise. We've seen the air numbers just continue to rise as the year has gone on.
Yeah, and it was just a couple of years ago. We were in the midst of the pandemic. And I think it's very safe to say that travel has returned very big time. And with these kinds of numbers, Rhino, we're looking at a record year for travel in 2025.
Yeah, people are not going to slow down. And that's what we've seen in that from a booking standpoint, Bill, as you know, in our industry, we do reservations now, travel later, right? We're not selling vacuum cleaners where you get to buy your vacuum and walk away with it. Neat and tidy transaction and everybody's happy. We're looking always into the future, and 2025 is outstanding in regards to advanced bookings and advanced reservations from people that have already made their plans. And people are booking further out than ever before, but they're also looking for that last minute travel opportunity that can come up. And if you're still thinking of it, you might be able to get whisked away here in the next couple of weeks, get out of Tucson and maybe head to Europe off season. It's a great time to do that. I'm headed to New York City next week, Bill. I'm so excited. I'm there for a travel industry event, but I'm going to carve out a little bit of time to hit Rockefeller Center, and I'm going to see the tree lit up. It's definitely the Christmas season will be in full effect in New York City. So if you're still thinking about getting away this year, let us know.
And of course, Paris has always been a wonderful destination. People want to go to Paris, City of Lights. And now, wow, after what I saw on 60 Minutes with the sneak preview of the Notre Dame Cathedral unveiling the new interior, I want to go.
You mentioned how popular Paris always is, right? It is one of the most popular destinations for North American travelers into Europe. It always has been. 2024 was no exception, especially when you factor in the Olympics that had the number of travelers coming internationally and descending on the city. But aren't we excited? I think we all are very, very happy and thrilled that the Notre Dame Cathedral has been renovated, restored, and as almost all the experts are saying, better than new. Not good as new, better than new, which is incredible to think how it could be that well done. Some of the locals did get a sneak peek. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, had an opportunity to showcase the iconic cathedral from the inside and the stonework that's been done there, the number of oak trees that were felled. They're saying over 2,000 oak trees were cut down to put in the beams and restore that iconic cathedral ceiling from the inside. So there's no more gaping holes from the fire of 5 years ago. So if you're thinking of Paris, you definitely need to think about Notre Dame. It will be opened up to the public coming up on December 8th, right? We're days away from the reopening of one of the world's best heritage sites, literally, for anyone, even if you're not of the religious belief. It's a work of art in and of its own.
Do you know if that will be a ticketed admission when they do open on December 8th, Ryan?
Yeah, I am anticipating that. I don't have the actual booking information just yet, but just the initial tickets, or at least the initial viewings that are coming up here on the 8th are already, quote-unquote, sold out. But if you are interested, we can get you with a Parisian and a French specialist that would have better understanding of, yeah, you don't want to go all that way and miss out if Notre Dame is on your bucket list to see, especially with it being so carefully restored and cleaned up. It took many, many carpenters and doing meticulous work, Bill, right, to make sure that it was new but not so new that it didn't create that same feeling of yesteryear that the cathedral has been there since the 12th century.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who've been to Paris numerous times are wanting to go back just to make that kind of the centerpiece for their return to the City of Light. You know, we talked a lot about last month, we didn't get a chance to cover all of them, the 25 best places to go in 2025, according to Condé Nast Traveler magazine. So why don't we try to cover a few more of those? Cuba is always been an intriguing destination to Americans because it's kind of that it's been forbidden for so many Americans to be able to go there. And a lot of Americans are curious. They'd love to go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A destination that has not been as easily accessible over the years and, in fact, closed completely for decades. But it is definitely, there's a return of travel to what many of us would call just an enduring favorite because of the standstill in time destination where there's colonial buildings. There's I love this phrase. I was reading about it in Travel and Leisure's magazine, and they said gelato-colored cars, and that could not be a better description of the colors of those cars, the pastels. These UNESCO protected cities, the Afro-Cuban culture that is there. There are some visa, and I don't want to say challenges, but there definitely are some hoops that you have to jump through differently than you would going to any other Caribbean island, for that matter, that are usually pretty easily accessible with the relationship that the United States government has. But if I were you, if Cuba's on your list, I don't want to speak ill will of the new president-elect, but I, as to be honest with you, Bill, mm-hmm. now's the time to get to Cuba. There could be some changes with government relations with President-elect Trump. There may be a reversal of some of these agreements. Those typically take time, but if Cuba's on your list, I would look sooner than later, and we have some great partners. Abercrombie & Kent does some incredible tours, and they do all of the paperwork for you, right? All those visas that you have to have to get into the country that were revamped in August of this year really paves the way for a simple travel trip to Cuba.
You know, that is such a good point. With the change in administration, there's another destination here over in the Middle East, Muscat in Oman. We don't really know how the change in administration might affect some of these kind of destinations that have been kind of on and off in the past, do we?
And I think your point is right, Bill. It has been on and off, and especially those Middle East destinations that are a little bit further away from the crisis that's happening right now in Israel. You should really consider Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and Muscat, Oman. Just the dramatic landscapes, the amount of capital that's been invested in luxury hotels in that region is off the charts. But it's what's really neat about that destination is blending the old and the historic in these great wonders of the world, the limestone massifs, the formidable castles, the wind-sculpted deserts. But you blend that with some of the new contemporary luxury hotel and accommodations. It's a really cool juxtaposition from a destination standpoint where you have the best of both worlds. And again, to our point about the administration, there could be some changes with how easily or closed off it may be on some of these destinations that don't have the green light that we normally are used to seeing. So if that's on your list, it is open and you can travel now. So consider Muscat Oman on your list.
So your travel team can hook up folks with all the details for places like Cuba and Oman.
Yes, absolutely. When you consider the additional paperwork from a visa standpoint, a passport, you know, sometimes you need to send your passport to get that visa approved, all of those hoops that you need to jump through. But more importantly, we have partnerships with what we refer to as destination specialists, boots on the ground teams of people that live in that destination that can curate an itinerary that's perfect for you. That way you're not just booking something sight unseen or, hey, I saw it on a website. Yeah. We actually have representation in destination that will make sure that your vacation comes off without a hitch.
All right, it's Travel Talk. That's part one. We've got part two with Ryan Hansen. Want to go over a couple more of these best places to go in 2025 after we take the break. Ryan, stick around. We will be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. What about a trip to Silver City? All the lights are up over in all that great Victorian architecture in downtown Silver City. Get you in the holiday mood. It's only about a three-hour drive over to a great area of the Land of Enchantment. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and prepare for a great visit only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Ryan Hansen is with us. Ryan is our inside travel talk expert. He's our travel contributor. Once a month, we love talking travel with Ryan, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel. And we were talking in the first segment, Rhino, about Paris and the Notre Dame Cathedral, the unveiling of the new interior. Hey, I've got a great trip for you. Start off in Marseille, in the south of France. Marseille, one of the 25 best places to go in 2025 by Condé Nast Traveler. Then head up to Paris, do the train, or you could actually fly, and then round it off in England, in Sussex in the United Kingdom, which is another of the top 25 places to go in 2025. How's that for a nice little itinerary?
It sounds like you're interviewing to be one of our travel advisors, because that is a fantastic itinerary. Obviously, it's capturing many of the hot spots right now that experts like Travel and Leisure are pointing to. And I do love the itinerary. There's some iconic stops, as we've already touched on, in Paris. But if you've never been to the French Riviera, starting off in Marseille, just a thriving art scene. There's beautiful and wonderful architecture there, southern French food. You've got beach clubs, and you can't go wrong. There's two really highlights that I love about this region. One, if you are a fan of the book and movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, the inspiration behind that, Chateau d'If, where the Count of Monte Cristo was imprisoned, is right off the coast of Marseille. I've seen it with my eyes. I love it. I can see Jim Caviezel right now imprisoned on Chateau d'If right there on the in the water. And then as you head northward towards Paris, you'll stop at a beautiful town called Aix-en-Provence. That whole area is the provincial region of France, and Aix-en-Provence, my favorite patisserie in all of France is in Aix-en-Provence. And if you just start walking and sniffing, you just follow your nose, you will find this bakery in Aix-en-Provence, Bill.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know how I love bakery goods, Rhino.
Many of us do, and especially when you're on vacation, it's time to indulge a little bit. But as you capped it off, Sussex is a unique and new thriving tourist destination, not a place that I think a lot of people think of. They think of the traditional London run. They'll do a little Shakespearean run. They'll hit out to Stonehenge, Bath, maybe. But Sussex has got some new cozy openings. It's a buzzing creative scene. So it's a place to think of that maybe is off the beaten path from where most of the European and North American travelers are going to be hitting. All of the Westminster Abbey, the London Eye can sometimes feel a little bit overrun with tourism, but definitely think of Sussex as a unique and different option for you.
Hey, and you could take the go do the channel, the train under the English Channel.
Super efficient. I have done that straight from Paris, right at Gare du Nord, the train station there in Paris, and takes you, and you can get dropped off right into any number of train stations. I believe we took it right into Piccadilly Circus.
And there you go.
It just was super convenient there into London.
All right, France and UK. That's a Buckmaster recommended itinerary. Another Buckmaster recommendation would be great trip we had to the Great Barrier Reef. One of the two visits we had to Australia when we did the northern coast of Australia, Queensland. Oh, my goodness. So many recreation opportunities there.
Yeah, multiple options when you think of the great down under. You do have, again, typical spots for many travelers is Sydney, is Melbourne. Wonderful, thriving, contemporary cities. Many go to southeast and hit Adelaide, where it has incredible wine region there. But we kind of like the tropical coast as well, Bill. Mm-hmm. There's glitzy resorts. There's really good access from an air standpoint, and so much to do on land that you're going to be out and about, right? Snorkeling and scuba diving at literally the best place on Earth at the Great Barrier Reef. You've got other great things at the Gold Coast if you stop in at Brisbane, but there's wonderful excursions on catamarans and other water activities that those of us that live in the Sonoran Desert, just when I think of water, it's in a glass or in a bathtub, not out to be explored. And so you've got some incredible outdoor activities in the northern coast of Queensland. You've even got rainforests. As we mentioned, the aquamarine options outside of Cairns, which is where you access the Great Barrier Reef, a thriving new destination that, again, many think of the popular spots of Australia. Don't sleep on the Queensland area.
Oh, I love that. We flew into Cairns, and you can actually take a boat out to something called Green Island. Oh, what a magical day we had on Green Island. The whole area is wonderful. And you can get now to Brisbane. I think American has started one of their longest nonstop flights in the world, Dallas-Fort Worth to Brisbane.
Yeah, easy hop here from Tucson to Dallas.
Yeah.
And then you make what appears to be, and don't get me wrong, it's a long time on an aircraft.
Yeah.
But I think as we, you and I, and travelers alike, the destination is almost always worth the journey.
It sure is. And I want to hit on a couple of other destinations if folks don't want to go far from home. Not bad at all. Think about Florida and what they call the Space Coast.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Astro tourism, Bill? That is
no.
A new phrase, right? Astro tourists, people that are infatuated with space travel and all that comes with that. You know the Kennedy Space Center, you know Cape Canaveral there. The Space Coast is an incredible place to watch rockets soar, and especially in 2025, where they will be celebrating the launch site of the Artemis 2 mission, which will take human beings out to the moon for the first time in five decades. What a cool place to watch launch. They've got a lot of other activities in addition to it, but I still can recall one of my favorite movies as a child was Space Camp. And I always thought, man, that would be pretty cool to go to space. But if you are someone that is a lover of stars and all that comes with astronomy and space travel, you too might be an astro tourist.
And it's very easy. You can fly into Orlando, about an hour over to Cocoa Beach, and then you're at the Space Coast. So that's something to
keep
in mind.
Yeah, and avoid the crowds of Mickey and Minnie head somewhere different in Florida.
Yes, and I do want to hit on the final destination on this list of 25 best places to go in 2025 from Condé Nast Traveler. A lot of listeners, I'm sure, would love to go to the Andes region of Peru and Machu Picchu. They would fly into Lima typically, then go up to Cuzco. But the Peruvian Amazon area is very intriguing, Rhino.
Yeah, and you touched on, obviously, the highlights, right? Something that needs no introduction is Machu Picchu, right? It's going to get the majority of travelers that come to that region. But don't forget that you could go on a river cruise, and we've talked about river cruise all the time, and we highlight for the majority of the time the European options, but there is a beautiful new ship that's making its maiden voyage in June of 2025 called the Pure Amazon, and it's a sleek 22-guest river boat that really takes luxury travel to the next level from Abercrombie and Kent. And so you're looking at immersive excursions, very intimate experience at the highest level. We're talking 6-star luxury on the Amazon, and there's nothing better than seeing a destination from the water. The wildlife, the flora and fauna that comes alive in and around one of the most incredible rivers on the planet, the Amazon, would be a different way to see Peru and that area. But you can also tack on Machu Picchu if you've never seen that.
And you may see some pink dolphins on the Amazon, which would be really incredible.
not a wildlife animal that I can say I've seen with my naked eye. I would love to see a pink dolphin.
All right, Rhino, how do we find out more? Go to bvtravel.com.
BVTravel.com is your best place to start. And don't forget, it's going to be here before you know it, Bill, our annual travel show, February 16th. So mark your calendars now.
I love it. I love it. Ryan, have a wonderful holiday season. We'll talk to you in 2025. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Happy holidays.
All right. We'll take that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Want to say we wish everybody well.